Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 14. We're going to read the whole chapter, but our focus for our sermon this afternoon will be verses 4 to 8. Hosea, chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. This is God's holy and inspired word. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not rise anymore to the work of our hands. You are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their back, love them freely. My anger has turned away from him. I will be like he shall grow like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them. The transgressors stumble in them. May God use the reading of His Word to glorify Himself and to bless you and to sanctify you. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we can just pray, Lord, verse 9, that You would make us wise and help us to understand Your Word. Help us to know them, Lord, not just to hear, but give us understanding and knowledge to believe by faith that the ways of the Lord are right, that we may walk in Your ways and walk in Your truth and not stumble as those who have not heard from You. So, Lord, we do ask that in this time, You would be working in our hearts as we hear Your Word preached and read. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the prophecy of Hosea, there have been the stark comparisons of other gods in their life, of marital adultery between Hosea and Gomer, illustrating that spiritual adultery of Israel towards God. We've been seeing this comparison of a man who's been abandoned by his wife as Israel has departed from the Lord. We've also seen warnings of severe judgment for these whoredoms, for Israel turning to other gods and having no mercy amongst each other and no knowledge of God. But woven in amongst all these things that we have seen in Hosea is also the mercy and grace of the Lord. We're reminded of chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, where the Lord says, I will forever. Yes, I will be in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Even though Israel had been playing the harlot, worshiping other gods, God would make her a faithful wife. You might remember chapter 11 where God recounted all how He had loved them, how He had brought them out of Egypt, how He had taught them how to walk, how He had freed them from bondage. And then he says, how could I give her up? His love was he was not like a man. His love was a covenant love, a love he had committed himself to, even when then he knew very well that his people would break that covenant. And now, though they have done that, his love has not changed. His covenant love for his covenant people. So as we continue in Hosea's prophecy here in chapter 14, we see once again the Lord declaring his covenant love to his people. Last time we saw the prescription for repentance, which included return to the Lord, turn away from all sins, away from particular sins, to call them out by name and to say these words to the Lord. Now, here in verses 4 to 8, based on that having been done, based on those who would in Israel, and even those here today and those in our day, those who will repent to the Lord, turn to the Lord, turn away from all their sin and their particular sins and confess them to the Lord, the Lord has a response. And that's what we're going to see here today. In God's response, we see the gospel gift of repentance and God's response to it. You see, just as faith is a gift from God, so is repentance, as we heard this morning in our education hour. The gift of repentance is a gospel gift from the Lord. Cannot be separated from the gospel. Salvation will not come apart from a person repenting. Forgiveness will not come from apart from a person repenting. Repentance does not save you, but it will happen in the midst of your salvation. Repentance is also for the Christian and necessary for us to grow and bear fruit. In Hosea 14, verses 4 to 8, we're going to see the gospel gift of repentance and God's response to it. We see this in three ways. First, it is a gospel grace of repentance. In verse 4, we see that it is the Lord's doing. You notice here, just briefly, I will say how many times he says, I will, I will, I will. It is his doing. It is the doing of grace. Secondly, we'll see the gospel growth of repentance. And I would just say to you, do you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? Repentance brings growth. We'll see that in verses 5 to 7. And lastly, the gospel guarantee of repentance. The Lord himself says here what will happen when people repent. When God works that work of repentance in our life, there will be growth guaranteed. And so, gospel repentance brings about growth, and that is a guarantee. So first, let's look in verse 4 at the gospel grace of repentance. And the Lord makes it clear here that it is His response to their repentance is the key thing here. It is not earned by their repentance. It is something that He will do for them, something that He will give to them. And so these next three statements here in verse 4 are made by the good news of His grace as He calls us to repentance and gives us the gift of repentance. And the first happening in verse 4 is that the Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. Now, backsliding is a term that we use often, and usually we're not speaking about ourselves, but as somebody we know that who has fallen away or fallen into sin. Backsliding is what Israel has been doing in departing from the Lord. You might recall in chapter 11, verse 7, the Lord said, my backsliding. And backsliding means simply to turn away in unbelief. This is a word we use, again, when we're talking about someone possibly who's living in unconfessed repentant sin, somebody who once made a profession about the Lord Jesus Christ of having faith, but now they're not attending church, they're not walking with the Lord. Or we may reserve that term of backsliding for somebody who has fallen into what we call scandalous sin, the big sins. But backsliding can be said of people like you and me who are here today, who are here worshiping, but who go through times of turning away from the Lord. And maybe you are here today and have and are in a place of backsliddenness. Well, the Lord says, I will heal those who are backsliding, those who return to me, confess all their sin and their particular sins, those people I will heal. And it wasn't their repentance that gave them healing. It wasn't an automatic like, okay, I'm going to repent, therefore I'm healed. It is God who gives the healing. It is God who offers healing. And the backslidden person needs healing. The one who has turned away from the Lord needs healing. Each and every time that we sin and turn away from the Lord, we need the Lord's healing hand. And how does He carry that healing out? But only in Christ Jesus. A passage that we're working on memorizing, Isaiah 53 verse 5, tells us, speaking of Christ, how are we healed? By His stripes. Your repentance does not heal you. You are called a gift of repentance, and it is a work that healing comes through the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His suffering for your sins. He took in the cords of the whip, which were physical assaults against Him, to picture the wrath of God coming upon Him. God heals you through the stripes, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's grace in repentance towards you. He restores you to spiritual health in Jesus Christ. The second aspect is His free love for His people. He says in verse 4, I will love them freely. The only bond that God has to love you is the bond that He has placed upon Himself to do so. God loves His people without any other obligation other than He has covenanted to do so. It's not based on our merits. For Him to love you freely is not even based on the quality of your repentance. It's based on His choosing to love you, to bear you up in His arms because He has made a covenant with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is a free love. He bound Himself to love you. He's obligated to Himself to love you. And therefore He will love all those who are in covenant with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's response to your exercising the gift of repentance that He gives you. This should cause us to exercise that gift. It should cause us to say, I see God saying He freely loves me. I see God saying He gives me the gift of repentance. So I will not fear Him, but I will go to Him and receive that love that He freely offers. Thirdly, He turns His anger away when we exercise the gift of repentance that He gives to us. Remember Hosea 11 verse 9, He has said, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger against Ephraim. Here in verse 4, He says, for my anger has turned away from him. But just because God has turned His anger away from His people doesn't mean that the anger of God has somehow dissipated like a cloud. That anger has to be satisfied. That anger. And so God, from one thing with His anger and turning it towards another person. All anger against those who belong to Him doesn't just go away. It is turned towards someone else. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 tell us how God did this. He was Jesus, speaking of Jesus, He was smitten and afflicted by God, wounded and bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And so while Israel, while Ephraim deserved the wrath of anger, God says here in verse 4, I will turn away from him, and it will be turned towards His Son, Jesus Christ. First Peter 3:18 speaks to this saying, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. What does that mean, to bring us to God? To reconcile us to God. That's what He's doing when He's pouring out His wrath for our sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this healing, this love, and this turning His anger away from us is all based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It all finds its truth, it all finds its execution and its operation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the doctrine of what we talked about this morning in our education hour again, the doctrine of propitiation. God's anger is satisfied in Jesus Christ. And that's why all those who are in Christ Jesus have had their sins forgiven. To the Israelites, God was saying to them, I'm going to turn my anger away from you based on what Jesus will do. And to us today, He turns His anger away from us based on what Jesus has done. And on that cross, when God poured out His wrath upon Him, in all three of these statements, I will heal, I will love, and I will turn my anger away from you, they are all accomplished by God's grace in Jesus Christ. Repentance is a gospel gift. The thing about that statement, if repentance is a gospel gift, is that if there is repentance in your life, it is because God is doing that work. And repentance is more than just confessing. Confessing is part of it. But repentance is very similar to what God is doing here as He turns His anger away from Ephraim and their sin. Repentance is us turning away from our sin towards God. And when that happens, when God does that work of grace, of the gift of repentance, you will see growth in your life. And that's what He tells us here in verses 5 through 7. Gospel repentance brings growth. When someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, there is a resurrection from the dead. They once were dead in their sins. You once were dead in your sins. But now you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. When one is a Christian and has been living in sin or unrepentant sin and then turns to the Lord in the Lord's prescribed way, still trusting in Christ, the Lord says, here's what I'm going to do in you, to you, and for you. He's going to cause you to grow. He's going to renew you and restore you to where you once were in Christ. And so verses 5 to 7 speaks of God's growing repentant sinners with some very beautiful language. I'd like you to look there. Verse 5, Israel, He shall grow like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Here the Lord uses all kinds of plants to speak to us of his effectiveness of bringing about. And he starts with this language of he would be like the dew to Israel. And we know what talk out on our grass. And even though it may not have rained the night before, the grass is wet. That's the dew. That's from the overnight. Without this, our plants would not grow well. They wouldn't grow well with just the occasional rains. And the Lord do to Israel. The Lord says, I will be like be the dew to Israel. I cause Israel to grow. The Lord is the one who is the dew. He also says, takes up the illustration of the lily. Now, lily doesn't have deep roots, but it is beautiful. It's a beautiful plant, a beautiful flower. And so, because of that dew, he says, I'm going to cause her to grow, cause Israel to grow like this plant. Remember, this is all based on the gift of repentance. It's all based on turning away from sin. It's all based on God working, healing, bringing about this turning away from sin, loving them freely. These are the things that are going to happen to someone who is repenting. And so I say this to you, that if you do not see the Lord making you this way, causing you to grow, then you should make an immediate connection and ask yourself, am I exercising the gift of repentance that God has given to me? Because he uses some language here that if you turn it to the opposite, the other way around, when it talks about growing like a lily that is beautiful, unrepentant sin is ugly. Unrepentant sin makes us ugly. Not like a lily. You see, the illustrations that the Lord is using here are direct contrast to what unrepentant sin does to a Christian. It makes you ugly. He then goes on to say that unlike a lily which has speaking about Lebanon, roots, lengthening his roots like Lebanon. The tall cedar trees of Lebanon that have strong roots. Compare that to unrepentant sin, which makes you weak, subject to being toppled over. Isaiah 40, verse 9, tells us that God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Next, he brings up the olive tree. He shall cause us to be beautiful like an olive tree. The beauty of an olive tree was not in the plant itself, but in its production, in its fruit. The olive tree was a big part of Israel's economic transactions. They would cultivate it, use it to eat, use it for oil, use it for all kinds of means to support themselves. And so the beauty of what it produces. Well, what does sin do? You know what sin does to us. It makes us feel worthless. It makes us feel not very valuable. And yet God has paid a great price in His Son Jesus Christ to redeem us and to call us to Himself. Once we were worthless, God did not love us because we were valuable. But He loves us because He has paid that price of His Son Jesus Christ, making us valuable to Him. And while living in unrepentant sin will make you feel, even believe that you're not valuable, repenting and receiving this free love of God and His healing and His strengthening will cause you to see God's value in you. Next, he talks about the fragrance of Lebanon. the fragrance of a repenting, believing sinner is like a mountainside that has all kinds of plants and trees and flowers that is giving off a fragrance, a sweet smell. If we turn that around, we'd have to say that sin causes us to stink. Unrepentant sin causes us to smell awful. Well, this is the work that God is saying that He will promise to do in us. Even though we may stink and be ugly and weak, He is willing to forgive and make us to smell well, to be beautiful, to be strong in our roots. This is what the Lord seeks to do in respond to a repentant sinner when we turn back to Him. Verse 7 speaks of a repentant sinner made to be like shade, revived like grain, growing like a vine. The Lord causes these things. The most significant illustration here is that He revives us like grain. It is the work of God in His grace and forgiveness to revive the Christian. I think one thing there that by faith we have to believe that there are times when we need reviving. There are times when we look like, act like, smell like we are dead. And those times are when we are living in sin and not repenting. But the Lord says, when you return to Me, confess and repent of all your sin and your particular sins, I will cause you to be revived. I will restore you to strength and health. And I will cause you to grow like a vine. I will cause you to grow. And all these works, if you were to summarize this little group of verses about what the Lord is doing here in the lives of a repentant sinner, you would say He is giving to you abundant life. And this is the life He wants for you. He wants you to live abundantly in Him. Jesus said He came that you may have life and have it more. Feels life. God. And these are all things that God says, I will do. I will do this when you execute the gift of repentance in the gospel that I have given you. And that's why in verse 8, it's spoken as a guaranteed thing. Look at verse 8. Now this is not the Lord speaking, saying, this is what Ephraim shall say. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I done? Idols. The Lord is saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what does I in a person's life, and they are exercising that gift, and I cause them to grow, there is going to be a change. True repentance will bring a change in your life. This is God's guarantee here in verse 8. God declares this is what they will say, whereas once they loved their idols, there's going to be such a change in their life that they're going to say, what? Just like they were told to say in verse 3, nor will we say anymore to the work of our hands, you are our gods. God's gift of repentance. I'm not talking about worldly sorrow. But when one comes to the Lord and recognizes they have offended the Lord in His holiness and repent of that sin and seek His forgiveness for all and every sin, God is saying that when that happens and I am working this gospel gift of repentance to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when that happens, there will be changes in your life. We could say, and it would be true, that Ephraim should say, or Grace Reformed Church shall say, or you and I shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? What have I to do anymore with lust? What have I to do anymore with my lack of love for other people? What have I to do anymore with pride? What have I to do anymore with pride about my sin? You could fill that word idol in with anything, because all sin is idolatry. God says, when my gift of repentance that I give to people, when I am working it, when I am causing it to be executed in the life of that person, when they are coming to me in the way that I have called them to come to me, there will be changes in their life. That's how you know if you are repenting of sin with godliness or worldliness. That's how you know if you are repenting of sin in just a way, oh, I got caught, or repenting of sin because you feel bad, or if you're really repenting because you have offended a holy God and turning away from your sin, and you see the change that God brings about in your life, you will know that gospel repentance has happened. And that's the kind of repentance we should be seeking. That's the kind of repentance that you should be asking God to work in your life. It goes beyond just being sorry. It goes beyond of just being regretting that you are not living in such a way. It is a godly sorrow that you have sinned against a holy God, and you seek Him to work in your life that you no longer sin anymore. That's what you're seeking. To turn away from that sin, those particular sins, and every sin. And God says, when I work that gift of repentance in you, you shall say, what have I anymore to do with that? God also tells them, here's why. Your fruit is found in me. Your fruit is found in me. It won't be you producing fruit, as Jesus said, but it will be the Lord. It will be the Lord working in your life. Growth, which produces fruit from Him. This is what the Lord seeks for you. And the question for us is this what we seek from the Lord? It is what we are to be seeking from the Lord. The other side of all of this is that when we are living in unrepentant sin, when we are living in sin, God is not producing fruit there. Fruit is rotting, even possibly fruit that God has produced will begin to rot, begin to stink. No one walks up to a fruit tree and sees rotting fruit and says, oh, how beautiful. And when the wind comes along, it will blow that tree over. And as Jesus has said, the trees that do not produce fruit are only good for one thing, and that's to be burned up. This is not what God seeks in you, Christian brothers and sisters. He is seeking genuine repentance of the gift that He has given to you so that He may grow you and produce fruit. If you want to grow in the Lord, repent of your sin and watch Him work. May God help us to genuinely repent, that we may find His fruit in our lives. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You again for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You are forthright with us. You tell us, Lord, exactly what You will do. You tell us, Lord, what gifts You have given to us to call us to Yourself through faith and repentance. Even as Christians, what we are to do with the gift of repentance. Lord, we do want to see fruit in our life. We want to see growth. We want to see Your beauty upon us. So Lord, show us where we are not repenting by faith, trusting in Christ. Show us where we are hanging on sin dearly. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that work in our life that would cause us to say, what have I to do with sin? Turn us, Lord, away from our sin and turn us to you in your grace and mercy. Change us, Lord, we ask.